It's wonderful to be with you this morning. What a great time. How are you enjoying the conference so far? Good, good. What a wonderful time. I know KBC has put so much detail into encouraging us to go and live on mission and to share the gospel and to just really go tell his story, right? And so this morning, we're going to continue that trend. We're going to look at missions. We're going to look at evangelism, maybe more in the perspective of a woman's scope. But today, we're going to be talking about embracing God's call. But before we start, let's go ahead and just go to the Father in prayer. Father God, we just sit here together, Lord God, as your daughters, Lord, and we just want to learn from you, Lord, just absorb the things that you want us to learn, Lord God, about your commission. Father, we know that you have given us a command and that we must obey that command and teach others about you and go to the nations, Father. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just break our hearts for those things, your things. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just help us learn this morning. Help us just understand some things. Help us wrestle with the things that we've been just putting in the forefront of ourselves, keeping those things as barriers. And Father, I pray that you would break those things for us so that we can go and share about your truth, Father. And I just thank you for all the women and the men in this room, Lord, that you would encourage them this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So embracing God's call. On your seat, you also had a little kind of booklet in your seat called Embracing God's Call. This is your handout for our time together this morning. So as we go down, there's a couple of questions that I want you to engage with. We're going to talk about some 6 habits for embracing his call. So you want to write those down. And then we have some easy steps. If you might have some ideas later that we can share with one another, you know, you could put those down as well. And then there's some reflection pieces that we'll talk about a little bit later. So learning to be missional and evangelistic in our everyday lives, even in the midst of chaos, that's really what we're going to focus on. And when you think about the chaos of this world, now tell me, what is going on in our world right now? Chaos. All over. Crazy. I mean, when you really think about it, people just need Jesus. That's my answer to everything. They just need Jesus. Leaders, governmental leaders, everyone around this planet, really. And so when is the best time for us to share? Well, the time is now. You know, we need to go out and share his truth. And so when we look at that, this is what we're going to be kind of grasping today. We're looking to be missional and evangelistic in our everyday lives. So the call, what is the call? We've heard this verse many, many, many times, right? You can say it by heart. So I'm going to call out one of our former missionaries, Jean. Would you share with us Matthew 28? Son of the Holy Ghost. Yes, yes. So it's go, therefore. This is the command that we were given, right, as believers, as Christians. Now, we understand that, yes, this was given to our biblical Christians, but at the same time, it applies to us, that we are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And I point out Miss Jean because she did go. You know, she followed the Lord's call, and you went to several different places, and it's just amazing to see how the Lord can use somebody, right? And so, it is that verse. It's the Lord's call for us to go and to share, and not only do that, but to teach them to obey, to observe all that I've commanded you, everything that Jesus has told us. So when we think about what is God's call, this is the call in our lives. You know, if I were to be so bold, there's a lot of things that we do in church life, and they're great, and it's wonderful, but this was the command, right? And so we can't forget what the command is from Jesus himself telling us to go. So where should we go? Everywhere. We see that in Acts 1:8, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? It's your community, your nation, your world. You know, it's that ripple effect, those layer effect of where you should go. You know, it's not a question of if you should go. It's a question of when and where. You know, and sometimes the challenge that we have as believers is acting on that. You know, acting on it. And so when I think about why don't we? You know, what's the barrier? What's keeping us from embracing God's call? And I know that life gets in the way, right? There's real life happening. You know, many of you are grandmothers now. You know, your mothers in the room, your college students, your, you know, young adult women, you've got life happening. And I get it. I get it. You know, wrangling, I see my sister wrangling three little ones, and I can't imagine what her life looks like on a daily basis. So I just pray for her. But living on mission with three little ones, oh my goodness, that must be difficult. But here's the thing. It's not if your life fits this ideal picture, then you're on mission. No, it's if you're a believer, you're on mission. So it makes us change the way we think. But here's that thing. The challenge is, are we willing to do that? You know, embracing his call. The challenge is your yes on the table? Now, I want us to look into Acts 16. So if you pull out your Bibles or your phones or if you have any of that for you, go ahead and pull that out. We're going to look at Acts 16, 1 through 10. And this is the Macedonian call. And if you don't have it, it's fine. I'm going to read it for you. So I'm going to give you a little time to look at it. Acts 16, 1 through 10. And actually, we're going to look at 6 through 10. All right, and here's what it says. It says, and they went through the region of Phrygia, and let's pretend I said that right, and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So that starts with verses 6 through 10. And so here's another picture of plans that were laid out, kind of going a whole different direction. You know, Paul and his group, they were on their way to one location, but then the Lord changed the plan on them. And what did they do? They listened. They went. You know, it wasn't a, yeah, but Lord, we were going to go to, you know, Galatia and, you know, but they have shopping over there and they have all these things. No, it was a, okay, we're on a mission. That mission is to share the gospel. And in my dream, that's when the Lord said, no, you're going to go this direction. And what did they do? They went. No question, no arguing. They just went. And so as I was researching for this workshop, there's a commentarian, and he said this: having the extraordinary ways of knowing the mind of God, they were overruled by them, contrary to their own mind. So when we think about that, again, it's a change of mindset. It's being in tune with the Lord. And so here, when we look at it, it says we must follow his providence and submit to his guidance. And here he gives this illustration of, you know, following the pillar of a cloud and fire. Now, that's not the first time we've heard that. You know, the Israelites also followed that pillar of cloud and fire. And they were told, just follow this. It will guide you. And so when we look here, it's talking about when he is taking us, when his call is taking us, it might take us somewhere else that we have never even thought of going. You know, and so are we open to that, Sarah? Because I heard her story. She's going to be going on the mission field, and she's a college student coming right out. So praise God. She opened her heart to whatever the Lord is leading her. You know, she told us this morning as we were talking at the booth that she feels like Abraham, you know, not knowing where she's going, but she's trusting completely in the Lord. Praise the Lord that our younger women are opening their hearts to go and share. You know, one day, Sarah, you're going to have stories like Miss Jean, when she went and she committed her life. That's amazing. Hey, wonderful. Making those connections. I love that. You know, because as we see those who have gone before us, we see that commitment to the Lord. And we're going to teach that to that next generation. You will too. You know, as women who love the Lord and who are committed to the Great Commission, that you would teach that to that next generation. It's amazing. We're raising up more people to go and share. So their plans changed. You know, they made an about face. You know, I was in band, and many of you probably were too. So when you do an about face and you're, you know, kind of design that you're making, it's just completely, I'm going the other direction. You know, and that's what they did. Didn't matter. So Paul, when we look at him in his life, he had a practice of leaning into the Lord's direction. This wasn't just one time event. He did this over and over. And we can see that from the time that he got saved. It was, I will follow after the Lord. I'm going to tell people about him. It really was that 180 shift from who he was. And so he had already reconciled with God. He had reconciled himself to the Lord's plans. And even ahead of the call, you know, he already went. And so for him to have a vision, you know, a dream, you know, to direct him, it probably was not, you know, this special thing that just randomly happened. No, he had a practice of that, hearing from the Lord, craving the Lord's direction. And so he was already open to that. He was open to the Lord. And so the Lord guided him. So really, they embraced his call. Paul embraced the Lord's call to go to a different direction. You know, and so when we look at this, the Lord opened the door and they went. So for them, they already had their yes on the table. You know, I've heard that several times of putting your, you know, your yes on the table. And I had one of those experiences too. And if you've heard my testimony, even coming here to Kentucky, it was one of those, I'm putting my yes on the table, because I was comfortable where I was serving. You know, you've had those experiences where everything, you know, nothing's ruining my day. My schedule's good. You know, life is here. But I did feel the Lord kind of stirring in me, and I didn't know what it was about. And I was like, okay. And I was like, oh, and I don't know if I want to, oh, okay. And I remember having a friend ask me, and this was like 3 months before I even considered thinking about Kentucky. But she said, would you consider being an executive director for WMU? And I was like, oh, no way. I was like, do you know how old I am? I was like, I am way younger than all the other directors. I was like, and I can be a little crazy sometimes. So, you know, I was the one who starts flash mobs and I do that kind of stuff. You know, there's no way that I can be this person, you know, and the Lord continued to stir and continued to stir. And then at one point I thought, well, maybe he's sending me overseas. Maybe he's going to send me to, you know, the New England area here in the United States. I had gone to a mission trip there. I thought maybe he's just moving me, you know, to the mission field. And so I got to a place in my own life that I said, okay, Lord, I was feeling very Isaiah-ish. I was like, here am I, send me, you know. And I said, okay, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I will follow. My yes is already on the table. No matter where you send me, I'm going to go. The next day, I was told about Kentucky. And I was like, well, this isn't exactly what I was thinking, but okay. And that was my testimony. Lord, if you want me to go in this direction, open the doors and I will take the steps. Open the door and I will take the step. Those small steps. And the Lord gave me such peace throughout the whole process. And so when I think about, you know, Paul and the group that was following around him, and the fact that he said, okay, we're already on your mission. So if you send us to somewhere else other than what we thought, it's no big deal. You know, we're doing what you want us to do. And really, that's the change of mindset that we need to have, especially in our daily lives. Because although we read about, you know, the stories of Paul and all these biblical figures and all of that kind of thing, they also had real life happening, just like we do. You know, there was probably a little more persecution to the Christians back then than we see with us here in the United States. But they had real lives, real family members, real children running around. They had the same kind of thing. And yet their minds were set, focused on embracing God's call. They said, he called us, we have to go. There's no questions to it. So they already had their yes on their table. So if we think about the challenge that we had, you know, are you prepared like they were? It's a question to us as well. Are we prepared to go talk to wherever the Lord leads us? Sometimes it could be just showing love. Other times, it might be a time for you to actually go and share the gospel with somebody. You know, that full-out gospel story. But see, we just have to be open. God will provide us those opportunities. He will open the doors. We just got to walk through them. So when you think about this, you know, as I was, you know, again, you know, listening to some sermons and things, there was a pastor who said, as he made a similar decision to Paul, he said, my mind was in tune, my yes was on the table, and God opened the door. And that's how we have to live our lives, in tune with his direction. And that's really being aware of what the Lord's doing, being aware of our surroundings, you know, and then following. It's having a different mindset. Ed Stetzer, he said this. He said, put your yes on the table and let God put it on the map. You know, wherever he leads. So again, in most cases, it's a matter of just our willingness. Are we willing to embrace his call? Are we willing to be available? Are we willing to be intentional? And if we are, That means we have to stay in tune with him. We have to stay in tune with his leading. And it might take some really small steps. It might take a really big leap. But he will use us if we're available. And he will use us for his glory. So we got to remove some distractions. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to go out and this time I'm not going to take the kids so I can stay focused. That's not what that means. It's just removing the lenses of this world. Remember, we are, when we follow scripture, it says we are citizens of heaven, not citizens of earth. And so we have to take off those lenses, put on a new set, and look at the world through the way God sees it. And so when we go into the grocery store, when we go into our doctor's office, when we go anywhere, we have to look through God's lenses, God's eyes, to see the world. And then respond as he leads us. Yes, we're still going to have children with us. Yes, we're still going to be waiting for, oh, they're going to check my blood today, and they're going to tell me I have high blood pressure, and they're going to, yeah, we have life going on. But we have to remember that those things, those areas, is where the Lord has us in that moment. And we have a story to tell. We have a story of hope. And in this world of chaos, there are lots of people who need to hear it. So we can share. You know, when I think about us and adopting a heart for missions and evangelism, and that's what this whole conference is about, you know, I was thinking of stories of people who have invested in my life and who have taught me, you know, and I think about my mom. You know, she taught me a lot. She was a WMUer from the time she was in birth, and, you know, the same thing for me. And so I remember every detail. I remember being in third grade, and there was a little girl who had just moved to our town. She was from Mexico. She only spoke Spanish. And we didn't have any translators to help her. So my mom would come drop me off. She learned of this need. And she ended up being the translator for this little girl. She would sit in the back of the class and translate. And I was like, that's interesting, because my mom had no practice in translating or anything. And they didn't even have a program for translation. And, you know, this is back in the early 90s. And so, you know, I saw that relationship. But it wasn't just my mom and helping this little girl translate. She got invested in her life. And she got invested in that family. And then, you know, sooner or later, then we went to this little girl's house and we're carrying blankets and gifts. And I was like, well, why are we giving these kids gifts? You know, and this GA should know better. But I went with my mom and she said, this is why we're doing this. Because they need the hope of the Lord. And we're going to share with them. She goes, and we're going to bring some blankets because they didn't have any heat in their house. And this was Christmas. And, you know, she was like, so we're going to meet a need. We're going to sing some songs with them. And we're going to share about Jesus. And she kept up with them long until I was in high school. She kept up with this family. And she would tell me stories. Oh, I heard this story about Gloria. Oh, I heard this story about her family. Da, 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 da. But it was her mission to stay connected. And that made such a difference for me. Now, my mom could have totally been one of those checked out moms who just dropped me off at school and took off, but she didn't. That made an impression on me. And then I think of Sandy Wisdom Martin, who was here last year speaking and who is the national WMU director. And when we moved buildings, I remember I was one of her staff members. So we moved buildings, and we had a new building that was like in this warehouse kind of park. So we had neighbors, new neighbors who weren't believers. You know, we weren't surrounded by the Baptist bunch building, you know. And what she did was she would go to our next door neighbors, and she would invest in them. She would invite them over for lunch, and we were like, does she know that they're not Christians? Like, she's inviting them over for lunch. What if we pray and they don't like it? we're thinking of all of this, and we were WMU, right? So it was just interesting how she taught us and how she shaped us to think differently. Like, they needed Jesus. And then one of their coworkers went on a mission trip with us, and she learned about the Lord. And then she started taking her kids to church again. And just story after story. But see, for them, it was a change of mindset. It was a change of mindset. So here's a couple of habits that I want to share with us. Because the question is, are you willing to put your yes on the table? So, 6 habits for embracing his call. The first one is, take the step. Be open. Are you willing to go wherever he leads? That might be next door. That might be across the street. That could be to someone that you always sit by at the doctor's office. You know, it could be anywhere. Because he'll open the door for conversation. All you got to do is take the step. Start the conversation. 2, recognize your mission field. Are you aware of your mission field? What it is? Is it your town? Is it your community? You know, maybe it is the people at the doctor's office. Maybe it is the people at your kids' elementary school. For me, it's my dog park. You know, I engage those people there. Where is your mission field? You know, write those things down. As you go through Acts 1:8, define. Okay, this is my Jerusalem. This is my Judea. Sometimes it's as simple as having a plan. So identify those things. What's your sphere of influence? You know, on your families, who are your family members who don't know the Lord? Write those down. That's your mission field. What about your neighbor? What about that grocery store you always go to because they have the best coupons? Write it down. It could be the same cashier that you use. Go find somebody. Make that your person. You know, be intentional. Oh, define your sphere of influence. Be intentional. You can do specific things to foster opportunities for conversation. You know, I was talking to my aunt the other day, and she has to do dialysis. And so she was telling me that she was talking to the guy who sits next to her, and she goes, he doesn't know the Lord, and I've started a conversation with him, but he always kind of halts the conversation when we talk about Jesus. She said, so I started talking to him about, you know, the kind of the Band-Aids and the coverings she uses for, you know, her wires and things that she has to use. And she said, so that has started the conversation. But sometimes we have to be intentional with even, you know, physical things that can lead us more and more to those deeper conversations about the Lord. And really, we just have to be conscious of doing them. You know, be aware. Be on task. Remember, we are doing what the Lord is calling us to do. And so you can think of 3 relationships, and you can write these down if they're on your head right now, that you can be intentional with. You can pray with them, you can encourage them, and you can even invite them to go to church with you, to be on mission with you, or simply just go with you to a food pantry or whatever. Be intentional about those relationships. And if you have 3 people, I would say start with those 3. You know, begin, take that small step. 4, speak life. Speak life in the situations wherever you go and speak his truth. Now, I wanted to read from one of the books that I used to prepare. And this is what he says. If you want to look into Luke 4:18-19, I would write that verse down. And just take time to read that one on your own. But the author here said, Jesus walked into places of brokenness, lostness, and darkness. places where he found people craving wholeness, love, and light. He said, today, just as it was during New Testament times, people often have little access to Jesus' message and little access to Jesus' people. This is true of both places around the world and right in our own backyard. People were craving wholeness, love, and light. And we can see this more every day. They're searching, seeking for anything. You know, I know some of our younger women in the room, you know, you might be, following TikTok sometimes, looking at some videos. And you can even see on the videos, they're trying to find something to make them feel whole, something to give them peace in their life. And when you watch that, it's so sad sometimes because we know what the truth is. You know, we know that Jesus is our only hope. And so when we think about that, it's speaking life into those situations, you know, into someone's darkness, speaking Jesus. And that's what Paul did. That's what the disciples did. They spoke of Jesus and his teachings. You know, we don't have to talk about how good Christians we are and this is how Christians do things. And it's this is what Jesus did. And this is the hope he gives. Not our hope. It's his hope. And so we share that. And then we mobilize others. Helping fellow believers to notice the rest of the world and discover their role in an extraordinary cause, then create small steps for them to move into those roles. We have to encourage others, you know, that we're not doing it on our own. You know, you have somebody, whether it's another lady at your church, and you know that she has a passion for sharing the gospel, get together, encourage one another. Or if you have a young student who says, I am called, you know what? Connect with those people, encourage them. What do you need, Sarah? We'll get it for you so you can go. You know, you need prayer? We'll be your prayer warriors. You know, you need some training? We'll find you some training. You know, whatever it is, but we have to mobilize others. And that's why we have conferences like this, to encourage you to go and to share. And then we have, lastly, be a prayer raiser. Be a prayer raiser. Champion the power of prayer in the midst of the call. Prayer raisers, they pray for the nations. They raise up others to pray. They know the Lord listens to the cries and prayers of God's people. Be a prayer raiser in your church. You know, be known for that. Oh, that lady, when she prays, whew, that's what we want to be known for. You know, I don't want to, please don't hear this as a brag, but I remember we were praying at the altar one Sunday, and I just felt led to stand up and pray. And as I was walking away, after that time of prayer, a lady was like, she was like, wow, I've never seen anyone pray like that. It was like you were talking to Jesus. And I was like, isn't that what we do when we pray? That's what I thought. Isn't that what we do when we pray? But sometimes we have gotten into doing churchy prayers, right? Lord Most High and the holiness of, you know, but really we're just talking to our Father. We're talking to him. We're pleading. We're pleading. We're using scripture and we're sharing it back. Lord, may your people come to know you. Let your will be done, you know, in this world. And so sometimes it begins with us, with our belief about prayer. You know, are we praying in a way that demonstrates our faith in the Lord? Are we praying in a way that stresses how the Lord listens to the cries of his people? You know, when we pray like this and we gather others to pray, our hearts start to beat in sync with God's heart for the world. And he is often pleased to act. That's who he is. You know, I don't know if you have read this book, and I would recommend it. It's called The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And he says this, "To ask rightly involves transformed passions. In prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after him, to desire the things he desires, to love the things he loves, to will the things he wills. And progressively, we are taught to see things from his point of view." So when we think about how we pray in our churches, how we pray about lostness, how we pray about the mission field, it will begin to stir this love for the people. So that when we walk into our grocery store and there's somebody from a different culture, or, you know, somebody who doesn't look like us, or they don't dress like us, it's not a, oh, well, I better walk this way. It's a, hey, how are you doing? A real how are you doing? You know, and stand there and want to hear, or, hey, how can I pray for you? You know, I want to pray for you right now. You know, it changes the way that we think, the way that we act, because it is what Jesus would do. You know, you don't want to be cliche, but it is what he would do. He would stop. He was aware. So we might think of this. Yeah, but Liz, what if I'm not called overseas like Jean and Sarah? What if I'm not called to that? Well, you know what? As I was reading this lovely book, it brought about another thing that I didn't really grasp of it. You know, it made sense, and then when they said it, I was like, yeah. So you have those who are appointed and sent, right? But there's another role, and it said that it's called the staying role. We're staying, right? But this is our mission field, so we got to be going as we're staying. But here's the thing, it says, people who practice God's heart for the nations usually engage in all of these staying roles. And it says there's three things: mobilizing others, giving, and praying in varying degrees. Mobilizing, giving, and praying. You know, do we mobilize others? Do we care well for our missionaries? Are we encouraging our pastors to go and share? You know, are we encouraging others to live it out? But are we giving? Are we giving so others can go? Are we giving to help those who need it so that they can go and share the gospel here in the United States, here in Kentucky, and around the world? Are we giving? And are we praying? Like really praying, like the real prayers that it talked about. When we implement these habits, we begin to develop that passion for the nations and a heart determined to obey his call. That's what we develop. You know, one last story about my mom. She is getting involved in WMU at her church, and she told me this. She said, you know, I wasn't involved in this, and she's trying to find her role after my dad passed away, and she was like, and so I found it. I'm going to be the one who talks about the missions offerings. And I said, oh, that's wonderful, Mom. She goes, and you know what? She got all mad. She's like, our church only has a goal of $500 for Annie Armstrong. And I was like, Mom. I was like, but $500 is good. She was like, you know how many people we have at our church? She was like, if everyone gave $10, we could definitely support those missionaries so they can go and share the gospel. And she got so upset, you know, and I was like, but Mom, sometimes our people just don't know. They don't know. They don't know why we give to Annie Armstrong. They don't know why we give to Lottie or any of the other ladies, you know. And she was like, well, we got to tell them. She's like, because people need to know. She was like, and your friend Joanne, who works with Graffiti too in New York, she was like, she's struggling, and their ministry is trying to win those people in the South Bronx, and we need to give to help those missionaries. And I was like, yes, Mom, and you can share their story. You know, sometimes it just takes that one little step to embrace his call, to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to share. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to give. All of that plays a part. And so I pray that for you. So if you look at the back again on your reflection piece, these are questions that you can take home with you to kind of have that one-on-one time with the Lord to say, Lord, what are the things that have been my barriers for sharing? Why haven't I been willing? Is my yes on the table? And I pray that you would embrace his call. Maybe if you haven't embraced it all the way, that you would do that. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you because of who you are, Lord. I thank you because we can trust in you. And I praise you because you have called us to a great commission. You know, it's not just the men in our church. It's not just the pastors in our church, but it's all of us. We are all a part of the body of Christ, Lord. And I pray that we can do our role for your glory, whatever it is. If it's sharing the gospel at the grocery store, or if it's going to Africa and sharing it around the world, I pray that you would use us. Break our hearts. Burden our hearts for the lost, Lord. Father, I pray that you would use us to be a movement for missions and evangelism in our churches, that they would look at us and say, that lady, she loves the Lord so much. She loves the lost even more, or not even more, but so much that she would do whatever it takes. We want to learn from her. Make us those women, Lord. Make us those women that do whatever it takes to embrace your call. Jesus, my prayer. Amen.